Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News, a weekly podcast looking back at what might have happened in the last 7 days. My name is Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend Lauren.
Hi.
And my friend James.
Hello.
So I must admit, this is the second This Might Be The News podcast I've recorded.
What happened to the
this
first?
Weekend? So on Friday, I had Sophie, who's obviously a regular and an occasional cameo guest, Ed on.
Oh, for, gosh.
Yeah. And Red Ed. Ed came on and he had, like the diva that he is, he had
presumably
a few,
Ed had been in the pub since 1 o'clock.
Yes, he had a few demands.
What shade was he?
Yeah, sort of a plum. Plum meets prune. And he said, first of all, I'm not going to talk politics. No politics allowed on this episode of This Might Be The News.
On this weekly politics podcast.
Really helpful, Ed. And second, yeah, was that we had to be sort of roaringly drunk for it. And so, well, what happened was we recorded it. And I don't remember the second half of it. But what I do know is that it didn't record. So I've got half a podcast recorded. And I haven't dared listen to it back yet. But I feel like it may never see the light of day, or we may release it as kind of like part one of This Might Be The News, the lost tapes.
The lost archives. I think there's a lesson there in terms of, unless you've got a dedicated tech team who are sober.
Well, I did. I've emailed the hosting company going, I've said, can you go have a look for it in the cloud?
Was that Ed's suggestion, presumably?
Well, no, he wants nothing to do with it now because he doesn't think he was on form. So,
God.
He's his own harshest critic.
Exactly. Well, anyway, thank you both for joining me for an emergency podcast.
The BC.
Our best team couldn't make it. So the rules aren't going to be the same. We are going to be able to talk about politics, which is convenient because one of the bigger news stories has come back into the news this week because, well, we've actually made some progress with Brexit. There's only one way to talk about Brexit, and that's with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. So, and it feels like we talk about Brexit a lot, but we look back on it, and actually, the last time we spoke about Brexit was in January when you two were last on. So you're kind of my Brexit experts.
Good, you've really gone to the top.
The cream of the crop.
People.
It's the B team, but the B is for Brexit.
The B stands for Brexit, not second choice.
Yeah.
So she's gone and done it, hasn't she?
She has. She's written her letter to Tusk. So everything's underway now.
So Theresa has triggered Article 50. It is Article 50.
It's Article 50.
Yeah. I get confused every
round number, easy to remember.
Yeah, apart from
I don't know that I agree with you that we've made progress.
Okay.
Like, it's just another thing. We've hit another checkbox, but I feel like practically nothing's been agreed. It's basically, rather than a plan to have a plan about a plan, we've now got a plan for a plan.
Oh, nice.
But this is what marks it as the official starting point. So negotiations go from here. She's actually written something down. I think the last time she had done the speech at Davos,
yeah,
saying they wanted the freest free trade and the best possible free exit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now she's sort of done that same speech and committed it to paper and something equally vague. And
well, she said, it is my fierce determination to get the right deal for every single person in this country.
And also everyone who is a Brit living abroad, because I watched the Andrew Marr show where she was being interviewed and they had a roving reporter in Benidorm who was just checking about what the people in the south of Spain were worried about.
Did they even know it had happened?
Some of them had been out there for a long time, they were quite leathery and they were very worried about having to come home.
Heaven forbid. I mean, that is a preposterous thing to suggest that she can get the right deal for every single person in the country.
I'm just imagining people from Benidorm trying to be reintroduced to England, like animals from captivity back into the wild. Oh. And they don't know how it works.
Are we going to need our own jungle in Calais for the...
We're certainly going to need people to laser off the bulldog tattoos all the shins with a flag or a British bulldog tattoo, they're going to need to be rectified before we can have them back in polite society.
Maybe I could help out there, run the sort of the 12-week programme of reintroducing, like, welcome back to society. I'm sorry.
You and Ed could jointly run it.
Yeah, we don't all drink Sex on the Beach at 10 a.m. every day.
I don't know if you want Ed in there.
No, you don't.
He's not going to help that situation.
No.
Ed does the first 2 weeks where they're still living that lifestyle, and then he hands the baton to Rory.
Yeah, for the sobering up period. So, I mean, if she was going to get us the right deal for every single one of us, then 48% of us would get to stay in the EU. So what's she going to offer us? How is she going to win around? Sorry, I shouldn't say us, because I'm sure there's people listening that actually voted to leave, and I tip my hat to you, but I don't know what that means. consider that hat tipped.
I've never seen you wear a hat.
No.
Like, actually, no, once, I think, for like a murder mystery. But that's it.
Well, if I was wearing that hat today, I would be tipping it to the Brexiteers that are listening and saying thank you for listening.
Thank you for giving us such good podcast fodder.
Yeah, absolutely. And but yeah, how are they going to win around the Remainers?
I think that to Tiffin's point, there is so far left to go on this. And it's ultimately going to come down to her agenda. She is going to personally oversee these negotiations. So it's still just going to come down to a Tory agenda.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's quite far removed from what the kind of previous principles of everyone being all in Europe, one for all kind of thing.
Mm.
So I think it's like her own ideology, her own party's ideology might become... But something that's more fundamental than actually, like, it's all about Britain remaining. But then she has done a really good speech this week about... or maybe it wasn't a speech, but she said something this week. You can fact check later.
Yeah.
Around her response to Nicola Sturgeon around the UK needing to come together at this time. So I do think that it could do something to kind of really galvanise the UK. Now, we are in this situation now.
So
pull together, I get that. Mm. But I don't know, when you said she's presiding over it, has she said that like she's done us all a massive favour?
No, she's saying I will personally, her and four others.
But for me, I'm like, well, of course you are. You're the Prime Minister.
Correct.
Why would you, if you're delegating that, what are you doing instead?
She's got loads on.
She's got to go skirt shopping.
That's not the face you want.
If you're voting for the face, then... I don't know. If you were voting for the legs, though.
Well,
so that was... When was that? Was that earlier this week?
Oh, is this the Daily Mail really offensive?
Legxit.
Yeah.
Legxit. I mean, do you have an opinion on that? I mean, just to explain to this is what happened. Everyone else was covering Sturgeon and May, just what they were actually talking about.
Yeah.
And the Daily Mail ran with a light-hearted story, as they called it.
It's about as informed as this podcast can be.
Pretty much.
So it's good that a national paper can go for that angle.
Do you know who wrote it as well?
It was Michael Gove's...
Of course it was,
Michael Gove's wife. And so she was asking the question, sort of, who won the day when it came to owning legs and what the legs looked like?
I mean, yeah, it did seem like just pointless. Definitely sexist as well. But shock horror, the Daily Mail does that.
Yeah, and then they basically said to the BBC, like, chill out, mate. Or there was sort of like, did they say something like, get a life? Get a life.
Get a leg.
It was like,
look, poor old BBC. BBC's just sort of... They slightly challenged the fact that Daily Mail had prioritised that story. They're like, chill out, mate.
I don't know if it's front page, for sure.
No. But, so, did you see what Donald Tusk said? I thought he took the moral high ground. He just said, we miss you already.
I did see that, actually. It's
little Tusky. Because he's been really sort of aggressive and he's been sort of,
trying to put us off balance with that?
I don't know, I think, I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's like getting people to feel sorry for him.
Because I've heard loads of stuff this week about a divorce bill, and it does feel a bit like we are all in a divorce.
That was exactly what we discussed the last time, because they had said that we couldn't go into the next marriage and get the new trade deals until we'd finalised the negotiations of the divorce.
Yeah,
covering old ground here too.
Sorry, but no, but
it is exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah, but as in, well, I just thought as well in terms of like we're the kids, except it'd be like if one of your siblings had caused your parents to divorce.
Mm.
But yeah, no, they've got a bill that apparently we owe for all of the stuff that we like committed to in Europe that's not yet finished or that has already been partly started. And there's been talk of like us just not paying it. So just being like, no, see you later.
Or just running away.
Literally, that's the way I've like heard it, is that there's just an option of like, we don't pay.
Just shutting up shop.
Yeah, and then...
Well, let's not pick up the phone for a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get away with that, though.
And so, who's... So...
Well, that's specifically the divorce is where the German and French ministers have rejected the terms. And basically, they've said that... They've rejected that the UK can just leave and it will all be happy days. And they've said that they really are going to negotiate hard so that Europe gets the better deal.
But when you say Europe, because even within Europe, you've got a lot of different individual states with individual agendas.
This is the 27 members.
But that's what I mean. It's like that whole thing of what, like, you know, Theresa May saying, I'm going to get the best deal for every single UK citizen. How can Europe say, I'm going to get the best deal for, you know, Lithuania and the best deal for France when comparatively they might have different things that they want from it?
Because the Spanish are just going to be like, can you get these Brits out of Benidorm?
Yeah, we've got one agenda. Oh, and we want Gibraltar back, apparently.
And then the Czech Republic will be like, and while you're at it, there's a load of them in Prague, actually, on a stag do. Can we just
empty Europe?
Can we herd up the Brit, the drunk British diaspora that we've let loose? And so, do you know, are you familiar with what David Davis has been up to this week?
Is he the Brexit secretary?
He is Brexit minister extraordinaire.
Okay.
I think he was at the pub when he found out he was being made Brexit minister. That's how likely he thought he'd get the call up for Theresa May's cabinet at the time.
So he's also a B team.
A man of the Benidorm community. And so he has floated, I think he read it out for the first time on Wednesday or whatever it was, the Great Repeal Bill.
The Great Repeal Bill. Yeah. What a name. I did enjoy that.
He's the one that's saying that we can't be blackmailed, isn't he?
Yeah.
David Davis, yeah.
Yeah, I think whenever he speaks, he's filled himself up on beer for a bit of Dutch courage whenever he sort of has to actually do an announcement. And so, and then he goes in a really bullish manner and says things like, yeah, you're not going to intimidate us. We're not going to back down.
I feel like he's the kind of, like, just based on the fact he's called it the Great Repeal Bill, like, oh, it's great, guys, because it's in the name. I feel like he's the kind of kid at school that would give himself his own nickname.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm Danger Dave.
Double D.
Are you?
Double D. Oh, don't mess with him.
And then everyone just called him Dave the Dick.
Dave the Dick. Dickie Dave. So, I mean, I think the actual phrase, the Great Repeal Act, it sounds really worrying.
It feels very, like, final and all-encompassing. But I guess that's kind of what Brexit is, isn't it?
But it's not final, because this is the start of 2 to 3 years, if not longer, of negotiations. And if you look back and you think, well, the last 2 years, how we've gone kind of...
Yeah.
How the world has turned on its axis in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think there's still quite a lot of room for some left-field stuff to come out.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a few surprises, but what he's saying is this Great Repeal Act is going to come in and basically wipe the slate clean on law.
Right, good. So we're going to come out of the European law and then spend the next few years rewriting our own British law.
Yeah.
Does that mean everything's back on the table? Like, all crimes?
All drugs?
I think they'll need to work. They'll need to have some of those laws just... But I think what could probably happen is you know, there's all those old laws that still have never been, like, fully cancelled.
Like, you can...
You can't kill a swan. No,
but apparently there's one that
if
you kill a Welshman within the city of York with a bow, it's legal?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, as long as his back is to you.
If he's facing west, then...
And there's also what that you can have in, like, the... Constabulary of Hampshire, a pregnant woman is allowed to urinate in a policeman's hat.
I've
you've seen that happen.
So I feel like
Southampton is in Hampshire. That's where I went to uni. You know, you see a lot of horrible things in that.
It's just Ed dressed up as a pregnant woman trying to find a policeman's hat.
So I think there's going to be a lot more of that, because what the EU law has probably done over the last... Whenever we joined in the 40s or the 50s? Yeah, look it up.
I'm pretty sure it was 70s or 60s.
Yeah, much, much later than
because we've listed
it
all...
It was post
No, I'm pretty sure it's like 72 or 73, because I had a Christmas quiz on this.
John Major? John Major. Didn't he sign it? He got Thatcher's leftover...
When did he come into power?
After Thatcher.
He was like late 80s, early 90s.
Wasn't
yeah.
It? No, it was way before that.
She signed in. Oh, I didn't, yeah.
Okay, right, this isn't a history lesson.
I mean, I love that, despite the fact we've got no real facts for the current stuff, we're like, but we'll try our hand at stuff from 20, 30 years ago, see if we know that.
Well, anyway, what I was saying is that I think what will happen is when the EU law goes, we'll just have all these really eccentric laws where, yeah, you're not allowed to eat a swan or, I don't know.
I don't know if I want to.
You have to curtsy at a... I don't know what you have to get. I don't know where I'm going at with that one. Anyway, so that's what the Great Repeal Act's going to do. You heard it here first. We're going to live in a lawless land where...
But no, a lawless land generally, but then with some really obscure laws around like manners and decorum.
Yeah, and it'll probably go back to like the feudal system where me and you can only sort of exchange... I couldn't pay you a currency, you'd exchange... Well,
the pound has also slipped further.
Oh, God, what? Week.
But we had a new coin, surely that... Did that not help? I thought not get. Oh, look how shiny it is.
Oh, it's so shiny. Let's spend loads.
Let's up the val.
I thought the pound was up this week. Has it gone down again? Oh, I can't keep
up. I think it went down with the triggering of the bill. Well, I only know this because they actually had it written in the airport yesterday, and it's the first time I've ever noticed that the euro is more than one to the pound.
Oh, wow.
We've tipped right over.
God.
I was buying a very expensive panini in Geneva.
As we're in the facts, and we've probably been quite light so far, I did just have one I wanted to weigh in with.
Come on in, we need some.
I've got a few more to add as well.
So okay. if you were to think of sort of a British company or institution that no one needed to weigh in on Brexit,
yeah.
So what would you say would be...
A British company?
Yeah, well, you'll have heard of it.
Sports Direct?
No.
Tesco?
In terms of like that kind of...
Wait a minute, has Philip Green got involved?
No, better.
Okay.
Butlins. voice concerns that it could affect the supply of redcoats. So apparently a lot of redcoats are EU migrants.
Oh.
And I don't know that they're saying like British people aren't up to the job.
I thought it was all like Shane Ritchie wannabes and future hosts of Loose Women.
I think Butlin, you know, the landscape has changed in the last few years. I think you've got... It's a lot more... Butlins? I can't say I have.
I have been to a Butlins and I've been to a Pontins. And when I was at the Butlins...
You're so well-travelled.
Which was better?
Well, when I was at Butlins, the Crankies performed. So I had just the ultimate Butlins experience. And I wouldn't wish it on anyone else. on my worst enemy. Okay, so that's one fact. So Butlins is upset. Butlins are in the Remain camp now.
Yeah.
Lauren, what have you got for me?
I mean, it's still quite vague, but I was just going to weigh in on what do we think. So immediately after she'd done Theresa had written the letter and sent it off to task, she then headed out with her husband for dinner at Bojo's.
Oh God, what Boris had? So I Boris think had her over, did he?
He's absolutely wangling for some. What is he? Foreign secretary.
Yes, that's quite...
He's going to get a big part of this negotiation. He's going to get a big job here. I can feel
but
it.
But I would... Surely foreign secretary is quite a big job, no?
I mean, regardless, it's Boris. Are we not worried?
Yeah, I'm worried about him as foreign secretary, but I just...
You're no more worried about him now.
I feel like if he hasn't been able to end the world with foreign secretary, short of getting PM, I don't know what else he could do.
No, I think he should be happy with what he's got. Well, so it sounds like, I feel like this is how we end every Brexit conversation. So something's been triggered. There's been a lot of 24-hour rolling news coverage about it. Like,
nothing's actually happened.
And yet nothing's happened. Although today we hinted that we might declare war on Spain over Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Right. Apparently it's going to be the new Falklands.
So Lord Howard, the former leader of the Tories, has said that he has no doubt that Theresa May would go to war over Gibraltar.
Yeah, we said it's non-negotiable.
We keep laying out everything as non-negotiable, and then we go, these aren't a threat. These aren't a threat. These aren't the facts. These are just sort of things for us to work around. Like, we keep talking about security and terrorism and... Brussels react, and then suddenly it's like, oh no, we didn't mean that. God, that was just a starting point. It's fine.
Yeah,
chill out. We've got ages to decide.
Cool. Well, that's our Brexit update. Well, let's leave it another few months until until we check in again. I was going to say unless something big happens, but that's about as big as it's going to get.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any commitments anytime soon.
No, I reckon we can probably wrap Brexit up for the year now.
Okay, is that a promise?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen.
After summer. We'll give the summer off.
Yeah.
We're okay. Into summer now because it's a bit hot today.
Okay. We'll check in the second half of the year. Thank you both.
Task Force.
Right. You're both familiar with Task Force, how it works. I somehow get a call every week from a well-known public figure. And I have to try and help them, usually with the help of my two guests. This week, I've had a call from a very, formerly important person. Former Vice President Al Gore.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? He's back.
He's back. He called me and said, Rory, I'm in town. I'm promoting my new film. I can't even, his first film was it called An Unreliable Truth or
Inconvenient? It was a book, wasn't it?
Was it a book or a film?
It was a film.
Okay.
Film?
I think it was a film.
Okay. Inconvenient Truth.
An Inconvenient Truth, not an Unreliable Truth. I guess that's a different thing. And he's got a sequel. Do you guys know what the sequel is called?
If you were trying
it's something like The Inconvenient Sequel.
Yeah.
Truth or Power.
Right.
Oh my god.
A real Hollywood name.
Yeah.
It needs to simplify that. I mean, that could be a task force in itself.
Also, just to be clear, if you were going to make a documentary promoting like how serious an issue global warming was, if you called it an unreliable truth,
yeah,
you would just undermine the entire point you're trying to make.
Maybe people would be intrigued. They'd be intrigued and they'd watch it.
That's how you hook them.
Yeah. So he's called me and he's said, Rory, do you know what? I think I've taken the whole wrong angle with my approach to saving the environment so far. Can you just sort of get your head around it and come up with some suggestions on how to tackle climate change? Yeah, that's what he called it.
Okay, quite a big one. Okay, so even for Task Force, that's...
Yeah.
Fix the planet.
How good are you guys at this stuff? Do you know much? Because I mean, I do not know much about the environment. I struggle with the nuances of recycling. I've got it. Cardboard, definitely.
Yeah.
Cardboard, definitely. The cartons that milk comes in, definitely. But then
tins and bottles.
Tins and bottles.
Do you have anything? Anything you've got to wash out, I don't bother.
Oh god, you're going to be great help with this.
No. I know what.
I think recycling and climate change are not. There's the a link, thing. But they're not the same thing.
Doesn't it take like 200 years for a carton of something to come back into use? Like recycling's incredibly slow.
So we still haven't ever used.
I know. I think you're confusing like the like stuff that like. Is non-biodegradable. Yeah. How long it takes to actually break down.
Oh, right.
Is like hundreds of years. I don't think they're like, they just have the world's slowest recycling. Like everyone's just sitting around going, we'll do it in a bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's not quite ready yet. Yeah. That's not recyclable.
We need to let it brew. I think first let's agree.
Yeah.
Let's just voice, do we all believe in climate change? Because that is one of the things people are disputing right now.
No, I mean, no one can dispute that it's happening.
People are, though.
Thought people were just disputing whether it was man-made or we are impacting it as a race or whether it's just the kind of like cyclical.
No, that's a fair distinction.
Apart from, well, I mean, Donald Trump tweeted a few years back, in New York, it's really cold, we need some climate change.
Oh, Trump.
So this is who we're dealing with. Well, but what's Al Gore tip? I mean, because he called me, he got my number, but I don't really know what his whole deal is. What is he saying in The Inconvenient Truth and the sequel? What's his angle?
He is like super involved in climate change. Yeah. It's been his thing for nearly 20 years now.
Yeah.
Certainly prior to this. I think when he was actually part of the Senate, he was quite heavily involved in this. And he still kind of chairs the climate and health summit somewhere.
Okay.
So I think he's still got his finger in that pie. And he's like an outspoken vegan, giving you all my Al Gore facts. I'm going to have nothing to say.
He's
an outspoken vegan on the basis that he doesn't eat meat because it actually takes so much energy and water and all the other things that are being affected by climate change to produce that amount of meat that we're eating when we're eating 3 to 4 times.
So is cows are methane.
Is he anti meat, but is he pro animals? Because like,
it's the trade. It's the process of having to get red meat onto our tables takes up a huge amount of energy.
And so okay, I get the beef with red meat. No pun intended there. But What about chickens? Can I eat a chicken, or is that bad for me?
I think generally, like if you were living just on your own in the country and you had a farm and you had some cows and some chickens,
yeah,
I don't think Uncle would have an issue with you doing what you needed to survive.
Well, that's kind of self-sufficiency.
That's what I'm saying. What he has, the point Lauren's making is that it's the mass production that is impacting the climate change. I think first and foremost, he's like, yay, environment, and then it's. Yeah. If you can eat animals within a sustainable way, he's probably okay with it. Yeah. Again, he's not told me this. I'm just going on what I think his views would be.
I'll call him back and I'll settle that question with him.
Let us know.
Okay, so what is he saying? Because he's on his second film now, so he should really be getting to the point. What is he saying we should be doing?
Have you seen the first?
No.
I've not either. Cool, so none of us have actually... Someone want to quickly just do a plot synopsis of an Inconvenient... I reckon I can guess. I'm going to guess it's basically...
Hang on, let's...
We're fucking up the environment.
I mean, yes.
We all need to wake up and actually change the way we live. I think it's probably going to be a lot about, like, all of the...
Okay, it's a documentary, 2006, and it's about... it's a comprehensive slideshow about global warming.
A slideshow? Right.
Christ, it sounds dreadful. It was a box office success, winning 2 Academy Awards.
But like for best documentary or whatever, and not best, like...
What,
best... I didn't think it was going to win for best actor.
Best actor, Al Gore.
So I get the feeling that the first one's just about bad news.
I think it's more of like a wake-up call. Yeah. I guess basically what I reckon's happened, and again, a lot of speculation as per, but I reckon... 2006, he does it. There's all this interest. He thinks, great, we're finally on the right track.
Sure.
The last couple of years, there's been a bit more wavering.
Mm.
Although actually, like the Paris Accords, a lot of countries are. Maybe he's just trying to drive it home across the line. Or maybe it's because of Trump.
I don't know. He might have to, Or maybe he's at a loose end. And
the money's running out.
His wife wants him out of the house. he's already refurbed the shed twice. So this already feels a bit too much like the facts for me. I feel like I've learned too much about this. Can you guys tell me about some ways that we can help solve like the environment issue?
Well, renewable energy is a big one.
We all need those little windmills in the garden.
Wind turbines. That's actually the like fastest growing job in America is wind turbine operator.
Ooh.
Which I'd never thought of a thing that someone did, but apparently they do.
Surely it's the whole point of it is that it doesn't need.
Well, I don't think there's someone cranking it, but I think it's more like someone will oversee that set of 10 and make sure that they don't.
Huge amounts of hamster wheels and have them powering or other animals that like to run. Dogs. Instead of taking dog walkers,
right.
You could set up, hear me out, sort of a circle. Treadmill style circle, but on a huge scale, like think as long as the travelator things in airports,
but
in a circle.
Yeah.
And instead of getting a dog walker, which in Islington you have to pay about £40 for an hour for.
Why do you know that? You don't have a dog in Islington.
Do you know all the London boroughs or just Islington? Where again you don't live.
I did live, and Islington is I'm just using it as like that's the sort of place where they have loads of money for
dogs.
Shit like this.
They'd have a dog budget.
Exactly. They've factored in a dog budget. So anyway, instead of having a dog walker, you essentially drop your dog off at
the turbine.
The turbine. Where they get to run around all day in essentially a giant big circle, which is powering something. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
I've already got
you do like greyhound racing as well in there.
They've shut down all the dog tracks in London.
No. Really?
Walthamstow, gone. Wimbledon, gone.
No, Wimbledon's still there. It's going to go. They're changing it to the new...
Right, well, so now one. I've just given them another option.
Well, I can already see the Daily Mail headline of Blade Runner, dog gets mauled by turbine blade. my little dog Rover was chopped into 20 pieces.
No, I think they'd have to be quite far apart. So, like, turbine on the hill... And then at the bottom of the hill, for example, you've got your big circle, and it's enclosed, so they can't just go rogue and run up.
Do you worry that the RSPCA might be like...
No, because it's exercise for the dog. They just go there for an hour.
What about that? You could do two health crises, so like child obesity.
Obesity, yes. Yeah,
what, have a dog riding the child? Or
I'm just thinking, get
the child running
next to the dog. You've got a couple of overweight kids who are, you know, just getting off the pounds.
You could, you know, when at school you had the big track drawn onto the field.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like a
400 meter track.
An athletic track. Yeah. That would be drawn on the field, but in somehow this could be. You know those big pads that they have in old people's homes on the floor when if they fall over it's like a trigger.
Yeah.
Lets them know. So we could somehow link up the athletics track.
Right.
So that it's like capturing the kinetic energy and then that becomes its entire, that becomes its whole, it's not even, doesn't even need to run
are
a wind
turbine. Are you bypassing the wind element and just we're going to...
What, we've got raw energy.
Raw kinetic energy.
I'm not in any way a science guy. But what you've just said...
From the sounds of it, I definitely am.
No, from what you've just said, it feels like that's just not possible or like how it works. I don't know that you could do that.
I don't know. Didn't you do that thing at school where you all had to like hold hands and somehow a light bulb would go on?
I think that's conducting electricity or something. I don't think that's necessarily the same thing.
That's still electricity.
I think you need to push something or you need to instigate movement.
Okay, so what are the best ones? We've got wind. We've sort of given an idea for wind.
Yeah, we've done
solar.
That.
Well, if it's getting hotter, be a good one.
What about solar suits?
Ooh. Right.
So you just—I don't know how advanced they're getting with solar panels, but if you could actually work them into clothing, and then you just literally go for a stroll,
or boom. Into phone cases.
Yeah, you could charge your
everyone,
phone.
Yeah, and everyone's always on their phone.
Yeah.
So somehow you put a miniature solar panel into the back of a phone case. That becomes super easy to charge on a solar panel in your house.
Yeah.
So two birds, you never have to look for a cable and then find that the end's gone all wonky anyway.
Yeah. So like hold it at 85 degrees while blowing on it gently.
I've never understood why is electricity bad?
I don't think it is, but I think some electricity, so like coal,
yeah,
was like a big thing in the Industrial Revolution that they used burning coal that would create electricity.
Right, okay.
So I'm just we've had the revolution though.
Again, it's like clean electricity versus.
Why is charging my phone via a plug in the wall bad?
I don't think we're saying it is, but I think basically it depends what the energy source is.
Okay.
So if that's from a clean energy source, great. But most things aren't.
So most things
are like oil or gas.
And why are people still burning coal? Because that one just... I mean, coal just looks like trouble.
Well, we have...
Black smoke.
We have gotten a lot better. Sorry to sound again like the fact, but we have got a lot better at that because... I can't remember the dates. That's unnecessary.
Pre-2017.
Say about 10 years ago,
yeah.
We all signed some sort of climate convention treaty.
Yeah, well,
Paris.
That was like last year.
No, long before that.
No, it's like the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Well, all I can remember is that we had to get it down to 2005's level.
So, yeah, so actually, I think last year was the first
point
year
that they measured it.
That it hadn't gone, that we'd actually gone slightly down rather than slightly up. So it is going in the right direction. Yeah. I think, to be honest, though, the stuff you're saying about like the solar panels... is actually, it does feed into a valid point of you've got to like challenge all of the things that we take for granted in our life and like the consumerist things that we take as the norm. If you can start working in things into that make people more conscious about actually where is this coming from, is this clean energy source, that's the long-term solution because it's not any one thing, it's the entire system
It's tying it into something that people are everyone is going to do. So everyone is going to use their phone. People still need to get around. Children need to do exercise.
Yeah.
Versus recycling, which people don't do because it's such a bigger hassle. We have to fit it into the existing rather than try and make extra work because then people just go, it's too much. I don't really understand it.
So what are the ways, like what are the likely ways that I am contributing to climate change in my daily... in my daily life?
How often do you get Ubers?
You don't want to know.
More than me?
No, I'm not getting as much as you, Lauren, but I'm getting enough to probably keep my local Uber driver in business.
I mean, the good news is a lot of them are Priuses, which are hybrids, so they're not as bad, but like, anytime use a car.
Anytime I'm encouraging someone to come drive me from A to B.
How often have you been on a plane this year?
That's quite bad too. So I don't know, 6 or 7 flights.
Yeah, that's ever... pretty punchy on the old petrol emissions.
Yeah. Okay, so this is, I'm starting to, but wait a minute, how am I supposed to get to wherever? I have to fly, don't I? So I'm not getting the ferry. I'm not getting the
ferry. Bring back Titanic.
The ferry to Australia.
Rory needs to get to New York.
End up just being best friends with Jay McDonald from the cruise ships. Because I spent the whole year on the Atlantic. Okay. So, I mean, Uber, yes, I understand. Okay, that's a really good one. So we're going to stop using Uber. The Uber
walk,
people love us.
Cycle.
Oh, I'm not doing any of that. No, it's dangerous, isn't
just
it?
Just tube then.
Okay. Tube's fine because everyone's using it already.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where...
It's combined footprint rather than... It's like car sharing.
What about...
Better than Ubers on your own.
Yeah, okay. We're all in it together and all that. What about... eating and drinking. Other than the eating meat, is there anything else I shouldn't be doing?
I guess barbecues are cool. Ed's probably got a fairly big... carbon footprint in himself just from the red meat.
He hasn't been on a flight in years, but he's just burning.
He's been like a real ghost presence this episode, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's coming back to it.
People really need to come
out. The lost tapes.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think part of it, I know I sound really like an activist here, but like it's more about like the companies you buy from and what are they doing to actually reduce their carbon footprint.
And are we in a position to name and shame some companies, or is this, I mean, it sounds like dangerous ground.
I don't know enough about it, but you know, I think it's probably the ones that you think, you know, the big culprits.
If you're listening to that, listeners,
like smoker,
all the ones you think that would be the bad guys.
Well, surely we can name some, like the oil companies.
Well, what have they done wrong?
They're mining all the oil.
And the oil's bad.
That's one of the big ones.
Okay, everyone stop using oil other than coconut oil. That's fine, isn't it? Coconut oil. You can use coconut oil and Johnson's Baby.
Although coconut oil will not help you with your car running.
No. We're out of the cars and we're getting the tube all together.
God, that'd be so awful.
That'd be gross.
Tube's disgusting.
Okay, so to conclude on Task Force, it sounds like I'm going to stop eating meat. We're going to get a load of fat kids to race some dogs.
Yeah, that was, I think, our landmark point.
I mean, my main thing on that is, like, surely if that could produce energy, we'd be doing it by now.
I think you'd have to commit to it on a huge, huge scale.
That's what I mean, it definitely can produce energy.
It would have to be like...
The London Marathon.
No, but... you know when they did Tesco's...
To do the London Marathon on a treadmill. One giant fucking treadmill with 50,000 people. Done.
We could actually make the streets of London a treadmill.
I mean, yeah, but in day-to-day life, that'd be...
Well, there could be, like, a cycle lane and then an energy lane. You just build in an extra bit, like, one of the pavements, for example. It's not a bad idea.
This could replace the Olympics.
No, I know.
Everyone's been, like, eliminated from the Olympics for the drug taken or whatever. Or actually, the Russians have tried a way to...
Haven't West Ham already bought it, though? Karen Brady's weighed in. She's got the stadium.
She's got the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
We can use... so we'll just have the kids and the dogs race around that until it's its own power station.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay. I'll give him a call back. He'll like that.
You don't have to give up meat completely. Okay. I'm certainly not going to.
Yeah.
I think it's more about reducing it. Like, it's just, you know, occasionally...
And I'm guessing...
Given that.
And I'm guessing...
And is trees not another one? Planting trees...
Probably.
Every time you have a burger, plant a tree.
McDonald's, for example, could have... McDonald's could install, like, a tiny allotment.
Yeah.
In... You know when they used... Like, all the old McDonald's used to have those, like, Ronald McDonald and the burglar...
Yeah.
...play areas. They could make that into a small allotment...
Yeah.
...that
yeah.
every time you order a burger, you have to plant a sapling, which is once a month transported out to...
That's a nice idea.
Somewhere.
I like that.
They'd love that as well.
More so than just the idea of, I've got like Rory just burying an acorn going, that'll be a tree.
No,
with no idea about
that. We have to be mass scale, so we have to get a corporation like that to back it. So it either has to be, like, I keep saying this, Tesco vouchers for school, but say you made that as like Tesco Energy Athletics tracks and you got the certain type of kit. Everyone collected those. My mum's weekly shop, we used to get about 40 a week that we'd give into school, and they could all track it on the...
Yeah,
everyone's got contacts. People are always contacting you for Task Force.
Yeah,
it's time you reach out.
I'm going
to
call in a few favours. So I'm going to give Al a call back. So I've got some ideas in progress. He's not going to like it when I mention the word McDonald's, but I'll win him round. with a few Happy Meals, and we'll take it from there. But thank you very much for your help with Task Force.
Quiz?
The quiz. So the good thing about the quiz is that because you two are different guests, I didn't have to rewrite the quiz. So these are the questions that I asked Sophie and Ed.
Is one about the new pound coin?
No, but...
Oh, it's a shame.
I tip my hat to the new pound coin. there's a lot of hat tipping going on in today's episode. So you guys know how it works. Lauren says Lauren when she knows the answer. James says James. Question number one. China has just opened a very special care home. Who will its residents be?
James.
Yep.
Is it like cats or something?
Close. It is an animal.
Dogs. No. Lauren, dogs.
No, think China.
James.
Yeah.
I wanted to say dragons and then I remembered they're not really.
Like the other famous Chinese.
James, pandas.
Yes.
Come on.
You got a point. It is a care home for pandas.
Haven't they also just found a whole new tiger colony in either China or Thailand, which basically doubles the entire tiger population in the world, so it's no longer on the endangered list. Wait,
they can put their feet up then. All the
how
people
have
that
they,
are trying to.
Like, how have they not found that before? Just all these tigers roaming around.
I don't know.
It's a big world out there.
I mean, China's massive.
I mean, but there's only about 30 tigers in the world. It's like the rhino, where they have to have it guarded at all times.
That's really good news.
So, could be.
Shit, have we just ruined question two?
No, it's fine.
What about the extra tiger?
Question number two is not about tigers. Question number two is about Brexit. What was some good news for Britain's boozers this week that's come out of Brexit?
Britain's boozers, as in
James.
Pubs?
As in Britain's big drinkers.
James.
Yeah.
Is it like the recommended how many units is determined by
it's
the
just
EU,
gone as a concept.
And then we get to redetermine the rate and we're like, we're going to have 100 a day.
Yeah, there is.
Lauren,
yeah.
We're going to bring the tax down on booze. So a pint will no longer be a tenner in London.
I'm going to give you half a point.
James, this is duty free.
I'm going to give you...
You can't just take my one and build on it.
I'm going to have to agree with Lauren there. You can't just... I can't be dishing out half a point and you come in willy-nilly.
I'm trying to win the other half.
You would have got the other half, but etiquette. So anyway, it is the return of the booze cruise. Ferry chiefs are planning to slash wine and beer prices after Britain leaves the EU. So there will be duty free on ferries.
Amazing.
It's going
to
be great.
You might actually be taking a boat to New York then.
Question number three. This week, Britain was revealed to have a sandwich problem. How many sandwiches does the average Brit eat in a lifetime?
Lauren.
Yep.
70,000.
70,000. James, how many are you going to go for?
The problem is, it's definitely going to be more. Right. I am going to go with... Let me just try and do some really, really quick math.
I mean, I had two baguettes yesterday.
I reckon the average person it's not based on you two. Has like maybe one... Let's go with one sandwich a day, I think is reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. And you probably do that... Do that from four to like... Let's go with 70. So yeah. You've got like a solid 66 years.
Yeah.
So you've got like 300 odd days
I like
in
you
that
working
time.
At it. Yeah.
Let me just do a quick sum.
Okay.
I don't think people have a sandwich a day.
I am going on the fact that they do.
Are you saying that on Sundays they have a break?
I think some people
have
a lot
roast.
Because I think it's like you've got breakfast sandwiches. No, honestly.
Are we including paninis, baguettes?
Times 365.
I don't know.
I'm going to go 20,000 is what I've come up with my maths.
20,000. Do you know what? That's not far away. James gets the point. 18,304. 18? 1-8.
Oh.
So not 70,000. Thank God. But to do a lot of running around that track with the dogs to knock off the 70,000 sandwiches. So 18,304 sandwiches at the cost of £48,339. So let's just all reflect on that. But anyway.
It's a lot of sandwiches.
Well done, James.
I honestly have more than that.
Question number four. Some news from last week that I found because I ran out of news from this week. Which country is voted the happiest on earth?
James.
Yep.
It's a Scandinavian one. Is it Norway?
Correct. It knocked Denmark off the table for a while. It's been Denmark for the last few years now. It's Norway. Congrats,
don't
Norway.
Don't the Scandies have really high suicide rate because it's dark all the time?
I think that might be more like Finland and Iceland, but they're still probably happier than the British.
Yeah, probably.
Happier than the British, and yet. Anyway, I think James has won this, but let's see if... actually, no, there are some bonus points here, Lauren, so do listen. Question number 5. Which Monopoly piece was eliminated?
James.
Lauren.
James did say James first.
Is it the hat?
No.
The dog?
No.
The house?
James.
No.
The boat? Iron.
No, no.
The boot? Also,
the boot is correct.
Yes!
So literally, we ruled them all out.
Doesn't matter.
The house isn't even a bit. That's a thing you buy to put on the...
Who said the house?
You did.
What are you said the house?
Anyway, I got it in the end. So,
they've got rid of the boot. What have they replaced the boot with? Can you name any of the things?
Is it... What, as in it's a brand new piece?
They've got 3 new pieces.
A phone?
No.
Are they like... Are they like topical?
It's, oh, I don't know. It's all very millennial.
James,
no, a mobile phone.
That's what just said, a phone.
Oh, like, I was imagining like a...
Oh, because when you use a phone with...
That's why I thought it was weird.
James is still using an on-the-wall mounted speaker.
That's what I thought you were referring to. That's why I was like, what a strange suggestion. Anyway.
You shouldn't fall out.
Carry on.
It was a T-Rex, a penguin, and a rubber duck.
I'm confident that I would have never got that. We could have guessed for another 100 years, and I would not have come at any of those.
Well,
why a T-Rex?
This is the
dinosaurs
people.
Are cool, though, aren't they? They're very hipster.
Yeah, they're not relevant to Monopoly. T-shirt.
Yeah, I think the dinosaur got the most votes.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, congratulations,
no,
James.
No, I thought you said bonus.
Yeah, but you didn't... the bonus.
As in, you could have got all 3. If you'd have said, it's a T-Rex.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Any more?
No, that was it. Well done, James.
Well played.
Thank you both for joining me on This Might Be The News. Listeners, thanks for putting up with another episode. See you all next week.